Good evening. Merry Christmas. This is one of my favorite nights of the year at Jacob's Well. There's so many great things that happen on Christmas Eve. And we're about 7 years old as a church. This is our seventh Christmas, the seventh year doing this together. And I think one of my favorite things is that on a night like tonight, it's kind of like a reunion, because oftentimes people have moved on or moved out of town, and yet somehow they come back here, or people who only come, like parents maybe come with kids once a year to their church or whatever, and I've gotten to know some of you that way. It's just such a great time in the life of our community to come together, because at the heart of our community is this person, Jesus. And when we really to come together on Christmas Eve and to gather to worship and celebrate the reality of the Messiah revealed in Jesus Christ. That's what we're about, remembering and recognizing the birth of Christ. How about that video? Wasn't that great? I mean, just what a great thing. That was put together by our children's community. You know, they wanted to contribute something to our worship experience tonight, and I'm just amazed by the creativity of people and their willingness to share. A young man named Sam Wright in our community wrote the script and directed the kids, and David Albright filmed it and edited it all together in a very short amount of time. And obviously you saw the acting talent of our children here at Jacob's Well, just quite stunning. So what a great contribution to our night in terms of recognizing and listening for the voice of Christ in that story. Interestingly, tonight, the way the Christian calendar falls, tonight, Sunday is actually, this is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Immediately tomorrow is Christmas, and so we're doing double duty tonight. We're celebrating the fourth Sunday in Advent, which Anna lit the fourth candle here, recognizing the light coming into the world, and tomorrow we'll recognize Christ's birth. And for the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about this theme, Advent. It's the season of preparation, and so one of the themes that we've been camped on as a community is this issue of preparation. We spend a lot of times in our culture, especially this time of the year, preparing for all the things that we've got to do, preparing lists, preparing our tables, preparing our homes, preparing our Christmas trees, preparing all those things, and yet it's so easy to miss Christ in here because we miss the most essential thing that followers of Jesus are intended to use this season for, and that is to prepare our hearts, that we might recognize and meet and create space in ourselves to know our Lord in a significant way at this time of year. That's one of the themes that has emerged this Advent season, this issue of preparation. The second is a little bit odd because we've been going through the prophetic literature, Isaiah and Micah and Malachi, looking with the liturgical calendar at what the passages are each week in the lectionary, and this theme of wilderness has emerged kind of from these texts. And so we've kind of been trying to listen to what God might be saying to us both around this issue of preparation, at the same time married to this concept of wilderness. And we've discovered some pretty interesting things as we've talked about this issue of preparation. What we've discovered is that in order to prepare people, God often uses the wilderness to do that. When God wants to prepare a person or a community of people to do something in response to what he's doing, God often leads people first into wilderness in order to prepare them before he gives to them the content of what he has promised them. And that's been an amazing thing for us to submit ourselves to as we've seen biblically this reality that before God led his people into the promised land, when he took them out of slavery in Egypt, he let them wander around in the wilderness, in the desert for 40 years that he might shape them into a people who are completely dependent on him, who had no memory of their former life in captivity in Egypt, and who learned to trust God and God's provision for their life. We talked about Jesus and how before Jesus began his public ministry, Jesus, as the scriptures told us, was sent out into the wilderness by the Spirit for a period of 40 days, mirroring Israel's 40 years, where the Spirit trained him and tested him and tried him and again made him vulnerable that he might receive from God the strength to do what God had given him to do. And that we also talked about in our own lives, how oftentimes it seems when we experience some kind of phenomenon in our life that shakes our identity, whether it's the loss of a job, whether it's the failure of a relationship that has significance to us, whether somebody close to us has died, whenever we experience trauma or change in our life, oftentimes we feel like we've been led into a wilderness. And we wonder, where is God in the midst of this experience where I feel like I'm on my own? and I feel like there's nothing to provide for me the basic sustenance of life that I need. What we've discovered is that God uses these wilderness experiences to prepare our hearts and to shape us as people in a way that makes us vulnerable, which is not something I'm particularly fond of, by the way, and dependent. God uses wilderness in our life to make us vulnerable, and then in our vulnerability, dependent on God. And we don't much like or appreciate being reduced in this way, and yet through it, God does things in us that couldn't happen otherwise. And I know that several of us, as we've talked about this, have talked about different ways, either now, presently, or in the past, God has used wilderness experiences to prepare us in ways that we wouldn't otherwise be open to. The irony of that is, as we come to tonight's passage, what we discover is that God not only uses wilderness to shape us, but while we are in the wilderness, God provides a peculiar kind of nourishment there. When God leads us into the wilderness and creates us as people who are to be vulnerable and dependent, God also nourishes us in a unique and peculiar kind of way. Many of you are familiar back again with the story of Israel being led out of Egypt. And I mean, they're not a couple days out of Egypt. And what do they start doing immediately? They start complaining. They just wish that they could be back in Egypt where they knew where the next meal was coming from. The minute they get freedom, they're angry and they're complaining. And God hears their complaining in Exodus 16, and he says that he will provide for them nourishment. And so he tells them that during at nighttime, he'll rain down quail, that they might have meat. And in the morning when they wake up, what is there? Do you know the story? Manna. The scripture tells us that when the Israelites wake up, the dew that has rested on the ground hardens and it becomes a bread-like substance, the bread of God, and they call it manna. And by this manna, Israel is fed by God's hand, not by what they're able to do themselves, but what God provides. And here's the deal, it only happens day to day. God tells them, only collect enough for the day so that they're dependent on him, not just in theory, but every day they have to depend on God's provision for nourishment. The thing that's amazing, this word manna, maybe you're familiar with it or not, it's amazing. It's a Hebrew word, you might not be surprised to know that, has incredibly profound theological depth to it. You know what the word manna means? What is it? Literally what the Hebrew means, manna, what it? What is this? I mean, that's the way it is when God provides for us, isn't it? Especially when we're in a wilderness experience. God provides something, and we look at it, and we're like, what's this? It's this, and I don't want this. You know, that kind of thing that's going on there. When God provides, oftentimes, he does it in a way that confuses us day by day. He takes us to a place where we're dependent. And then he gives us something that only he can generate. It comes mysteriously. It disappears in the same way the bread of God. What is it? This is the way it is with God often. He nourishes us in ways and in places that are confusing to us, especially when we are vulnerable. Why? Because God wants to feed us by his hand. He wants to use that space in our lives to do something, to teach us something that we can only learn in that way. Let's look at a passage from Micah, our final prophetic passage for Advent. I'm going to cut a deal with you. This fourth word, you don't have to say it. Okay? It's a tough one. Okay? So we'll read this and we'll skip over Ephrathah. And we'll go on. So let's read together from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to the first part of 5. Read with me. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. Okay, this is a passage about God's future rule in Israel, and how God will come and manifest himself in this person who we know to be the Messiah. It's a prophetic passage about God's future ruler. And as Micah gives this prophecy, as he gives this description of what God will do at some future day, it's a beautiful poetic description of God's intent to shepherd Israel in good ways. And it comes at a timely place because Israel is in the wilderness. They're not in the literal wilderness anymore, but they're a nation who's in captivity. Things are not working out according to what Israel thinks ought to be the people of God and how their life ought to go. And they're confused and not understanding what it is God is saying. And then he says even something more significant. He says it's from Bethlehem that this ruler will come. And we say, so what? Jesus was born there, we know that, and we see that it's fulfilled, this prophecy of God's future ruler being fulfilled in Christ, the Messiah, but there's even more there. The word Bethlehem, this actually does have a significant theological meaning. Mana, what is it? It just mirrors our confusion at sometimes God's provision in our life, but Bethlehem actually means house of bread. The future ruler of Israel comes from the place of provision. Out of the house of bread, God raises up his Messiah. God's people, Israel, have been in the wilderness of separation from God. They're vulnerable, they're dependent, and more than that, they are hungry for God. And maybe you are one of those people tonight like that. You've experienced some measure of wilderness in your life. Things that you have formerly found as sources of identity and meaning in your life have been taken away, and you're trying to figure out, where in the world do I find nourishment? I do feel vulnerable. I do feel dependent. I don't know who I am or where I'm going. For Israel, that created a sense of hunger and desperation for God. Manna, God's provision of bread, was just a memory of what God had done in some distant past. It had been a long time since God had provided bread in this wilderness. And yet we're told out of the house of bread, this ruler will come. Micah says, out of this house comes he who will be our peace. Beautiful, beautiful passage. In the wilderness, God is our bread. In the wilderness, God is our nourishment. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, out of the house of bread, feeds his people. And I think just like the Israelites, on holidays like Christmas, we look at this child in the manger that the kids showed us in this video, and we don't really know what to do with this kid. Just like the Israelites looked at that crust on the ground and said, Mana, we look at Jesus, I think, in the manger, and we go, Mana, what is this? What do we do with this? Mana, what is it? I even wonder if this is, in some sense, the sentiment that the hymn writer is tapping into when he says, or when she says, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's head? What's this? Because God's nourishment, when it comes, often comes in ways that is hard for us to perceive and understand what to do with. And yet, day by day, God feeds us by the provision of his grace in manna and in Christ, who comes out of the house of bread. What child is this? Mana. What child is this? This is the child who will later be quoted by John as saying this: very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread that comes from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What child is this? This is the child who will someday say, I am the bread of life. Eat of me. This is the child who later followers will build an entire sacrament around the reality of God made manifest, the bread of the world, who takes away the sins and makes provision in the wilderness by providing a feast of grace that comes from the broken body and shed blood of Jesus. Manna. This is the child who will willingly enter the wilderness of death that is caused by sin, and like Moses, lead his people on a new exodus into life and into freedom and into complete vulnerability and dependence, that we might receive day by day the nourishment that comes from Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. The question is asked, Manna, what is this? In Christ, we get to answer that question. What is this? It's what the hymn writer said when he said, what child is this? What's the answer? This is Christ our King. That's the answer. Manna, what is it? What is it? It's our King. Jesus is the manna in the wilderness that God provided day by day. And then in the Christ child becomes our nourishment and our light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are hungry people who rush around in desperation trying to find significance and sources for identity. We prepare so many ways, and yet we rarely still ourselves and listen for your voice calling to us. Lord, into those environments you often lead us into the wilderness, that we might be stripped of our own identity, of our own sources of security, so that we might become vulnerable, so that we might become dependent, and so that we might receive day by day the nourishment that only comes from your hand. That we might receive the nourishment that only comes from your hand. And so, Jesus, we say, what child is this? This is Christ. You are our King. And Lord, we come to meet you tonight at this table, that we might receive the nourishment that comes from your broken body and your shed blood. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.